This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome to Believe in Betting, a Sports Garden Network production. We are your source for sports entertainment and credible sports intelligence. And now, here's your host, Tom Barton.
All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of Believe in Betting. I am Tom Barton. You guys, make sure that you check out sportsgarten.com. Sportsgarten, G-A-R-T-E-N, over on the social media. It's hashtag S-G-N. Want to get in touch with us? We always love to talk to you guys, and we have been getting a lot of feedback. So I love the feedback. I want to make sure that we continue to get a lot of the feedback. And look, we've been really concentrating recently on the NBA playoffs, on the NHL playoffs, and that's all great. That's all fine and good. But look, Major League Baseball is a time where we can really make a lot of money. And one of the trends that we are seeing in Major League Baseball, very specifically here, are unders in games. I've always been an advocate of starting pitching, but recently, in the recent years, starting pitching has become less. I mean, we have Tampa Bay doing an opener and whatnot. But starting pitching has really elevated their game, but scoring is down across the league. People are blaming a dead ball. There's a lot of conversation out there, and a lot of articles are being written that they're using different balls during primetime games, different balls during the regular game. We're watching Exit Velo and StatCast and all of these kind of computerized, generated statistical analysis going, yeah, the ball just is not carrying. And you can watch it with your own eyes. You see a ball carrying out and you go, oh, that's gone. And it barely hits the warning track, which we've seen a couple of times this week, as a matter of fact. And you can blame the shortened spring training. Sure, that's part of it. You can blame the bad weather. Sure, that's part of it. But we're hitting historic lows in scoring. Historic lows in scoring in a time where we're sitting back and we're saying, yeah, there's no DH. Scoring should be up massively across the entire league. Instead, it's down. It's down at historic levels. They're calling this the new dead ball era. Maybe it's launch angle. Maybe it's guys going for too many home runs. Maybe it's the pitchers being ahead because of spring training. Maybe it's a bad weather. Maybe it's the humidors, which we've covered on the show. Now, every team has a humidor. Maybe it's a culmination of all of it. But the reality is that if you're worth betting on sports, hey, the under is looking like it's just a great bet. And betting on starting pitchers this year looks good right now. When will it go back? When will it eventually even out? And I say when because it will eventually even out. I just don't know if we're thinking about the terms that we're always talking about, which are going out there and talking about, you know, numbers that are just ridiculous and set groundbreaking. I don't think we're going to get back to that, at least not this year. So what we have seen are a lot of the books are starting to adjust. They're starting to move their numbers. We've seen quite a few sixes and a halves out there. You couldn't find a 6.5 last year. You know, quite a few 6.5s out there. 6.5s just this week between, there was a 6.5 for a little while just this week between, you had guys like Whitlock and Kyle Wright. Okay, so they're not massive names. There was a 7 line posted. A 7 between the Marlins and Diamondbacks because Madison Bumgarner and Jesus Luzardo were on the mound. So it doesn't have to be these outstanding, huge names. I remember a time, and I'm going, oh, going way back. Not really that far back. 6-7 years ago, you got two aces. You might have had a six line out there. You had a three over-under for the first five innings. So they are adjusting, and we're going to keep an eye on this and see how much the books adjust and if they over-adjust. What I want to do today, though, is bring on a guest, Jim Cott, to talk about some of this, talk about the New York Yankees and their great start, and talking about and his brand new book, Good as Gold, My 8 Decades in Baseball. He is a 2022 Baseball Hall of Fame inductee. That's just really cool. You guys probably know him as the long-term broadcaster, but 25-year playing career, of course, Jim Cott. Jim, how you doing today?
Doing just fine. Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Before we get into the book, I really want to just say, hey, congratulations on the Hall of Fame. I just took my 8-year-old son to Cooperstown for the first time this winter. Just seeing his eyes light up and the plaques and the stories, to be in that room, it's just unbelievable. It really is. So I want to say congratulations. Was there a time that you said to yourself, you know what, I'm just not going to make it, and kind of got down?
Yeah, I don't think I got down, but I was sort of realistically thinking the Hall of Fame was in my rearview mirror. I really thought most of the pitchers that are in there, if they're not relief specialists, they were pretty dominant starters. And I had a couple dominant years, but my career was mostly done over a period of time and not, you know, dominant like a Sandy Koufax. So, but I was so grateful that, I had a committee this year that guys I played against, played with, executives that actually saw me as well as media representatives. And I think they rewarded longevity and dependability.
You know, look, I'm in the media, you're in the media, but I think there's something a little bit more special when your contemporaries vote you in, right? As opposed to just the writers and whatnot. There's something more special about the people that you played with saying, no, you were one of the best. You were one of the best. That, I think, has to mean something more.
No question. I think anytime you get the approval of guys, as you mentioned, that you played with or against and that actually saw your career, it's much more meaningful, I think. And so for me, it was worth the wait.
Guys, we're on the phone with Jim Cott. Go check out his new book, Good as Gold, My 8 Decades in Baseball. You mentioned Sandy Koufax, and I love the excerpts from the book, and I read pretty much cover to cover. It's only 300 pages. I don't know how you got 25-year career in 300 pages, but you talked about Koufax, and I have argued on my shows for the last couple of years that I think that Clayton Kershaw is the best pitcher that I've ever seen, and he can stand up all time. I watch Pedro. I watch Maddox. People put their name into it. It seems like maybe you'd be on the Koufax bandwagon because the things that are in that book. Just give us a little bit about your opinion on Sandy Koufax.
Well, the reason I put Sandy up at the top, and it's so hard to compare era to era because of the innings and the complete games. And, you know, the toughest outs to get are those last six, the last three. That's why there are very few closers. There are fewer closers that stand up over a period of time. And so Sandy pitched, you know, for a team that didn't score him a lot of runs. He won a lot of close one-run games, and he had to pitch a lot of complete games and pitched the last three innings of a lot of those stressful games, leading the Dodgers to a pennant. And I take nothing away from the Kershaw, Scherzers, Verlanders. They're in that their class. They can't help it that people count their pitches and take them out before, you know, they really have to. But and that's why I put Sandy at the top, and that's why it's difficult to compare pitchers era to era.
Yeah, Sandy's got to be right there. What about today's pitchers? Okay, you said in the book, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, you wanted to always throw. If you could pitch, it didn't matter. You know, you wanted to always pitch. You wanted to throw. Today's starters, you mentioned it, the shortened innings, the get to 100 pitches and everybody starts freaking out. Sometimes you see the memes come up and you see the Nolan Ryan through 200 pitches. You know, I mean, will we ever go back to that? Or is it going to be even decreased more where we see starters only going 3 innings?
I think it appears that it's going to become more and more specialized. I think that all the data now, you know, they're starting to show well the third time through the batting order. I mean, Warren Spahn told me when I got a pitching lesson from him in the 60s, he said, now, kid, when the game's tied in the seventh, the game's just starting. You have to learn how to pitch Mickey Mantle differently in that fourth at-bat than the first. So it's not a matter of pitchers today being tired and can't go through the batting order the third time, but today is so much emphasis on power and just pitching one way. They don't necessarily pitch to the score run lead. You didn't want the guy to walk. You didn't care if you struck him out, but you wanted to make him put it in play. And occasionally you'd give up like a Catfish or a Robin Roberts. You'd give up a lot of solo home runs. But now every pitch seems to be designed to make the hitter swing and miss. And every swing is made to try to hit the ball out of the ballpark. And that's what is different about today's game versus the games back in my era.
What about today's day that we're sitting in here? As of today, recording during the week, as of today, Major League Baseball teams are averaging 4 runs per game in April. That was the lowest average for a month since 1981. They're about 0.26 runs per game per team fewer. League-wide batting average is 231. That's through April. That's the lowest in Major League history. The OPS is the lowest. Is this a dead-end ball? Or is this a combination of all the things you just kind of talked about?
Well, I think it's a combination. Just in the last couple of weeks, I've heard about the new ball, if it is new, the ball that apparently the pitchers are feeling that it's a little more of a porous or rougher cover, which the way it was when I pitched, and the seams are higher, and there's a little more drag on the ball. So that's, I think, the reason the ball doesn't seem to be carrying as much. The other thing is a hitter now faces 3 or 4 different pitches. He seldom gets 3 at-bats against the same pitcher. Maybe he gets 2, whereas years ago you'd get 4. So he's looking at a different pitcher, and you're looking at guys that come in out of the bullpen that are just going to throw as hard as they can for one inning, and they're done. So I think that makes it a lot more difficult for hitters, and then you combine that with the fact that pitchers aren't pitching to contact. They want hitters to swing and miss, and hitters are swinging for the fences. So they're trying to launch every ball. If they hit 300 fly balls a year, 8% of them, according to statistics, will be home runs. And that means they'll make a lot of money. If they just try to put the ball in play and beat the shift and hit singles like Pete Rose, Rod Carew, Tony Gwynn, Wade Boggs. Hitters like that aren't around anymore. The game is just played entirely, it's played differently. And I don't think it's as appealing, but that's the difference of the two eras.
We're on the phone with Jim Cott. The new book is Good as Gold, My 8 Decades in Baseball. Ed, Jim, you mentioned that. I was watching the Yankee. I'm a lifelong Yankee fan, right? So I listened to you for years, but I was watching the Yankee game the other day, and when they were in Kansas City, George Brett was in the booth. And George Brett kind of made an offhanded comment that I put out on Twitter. I was like, wow. George Brett said, man, if they put a shift on me, I'd hit 600 because good hitters basically adjust. And, you know, the younger generation doesn't understand how good those hitters were to say, no, I'm going to put it right there. George said, I'm going to put it right next to the shortstop. And I believe he would have done it, right?
I think so. I mean, Rod Carew, who I played with for years and against some, in batting practice, he tried to, we used to play a lot of pepper. I don't think players and kids today even remember what pepper was. But Rod would just try to serve one ball out to hit everybody in the outfield during batting practice. There might be 5 or 6 pitchers, some utility players out there during batting practice. He'd try to hit one to each guy, just making contact, hit the ball all over the field. Well, now batting practice has become a home run derby show. And hitters wonder why all of a sudden you'll see some guy out of the lineup with a strained oblique, which, in my era, the only thing I knew about oblique, it sounded like geometry. I didn't know it had anything to do with but it's caused really by these guys hit so much batting practice, take so much batting practice, and every swing is a power swing. You know, they'll take a few to warm up, but there again, that's the difference, and that's why I feel the same way as George Brett. If they put the shift on hitters like George and Carew and Tony Gwynn, they'd hit 600. But of course, if the game were played today the way they played in George's era, in my era, they wouldn't have the shift because, you know, hitters weren't interested in just hitting home runs. If they hit the ball hard, okay, that's a home run, but they wanted to hit 300. And batting average now, it doesn't even mean anything. It's home runs and runs scored. And as you pointed out, they're not really scoring as many runs as if you went back to the days when you try to put a few singles together.
Yeah, think about what Whitey Herzog, he'd be really angry. The run, get the guy over. I mean, it's just done. It's crazy that it had just gone away. What do you think the answer is? Is the answer to ban the shift like they are, you know, basically going to do? I don't think so.
Well, I hope they do that. I don't know if that'll be the answer. I mean, I just think it's, I mean, the most exciting year I had in my 25 seasons was 1982 when I was a member of the St. Louis Cardinals and we won the World Series. And we hit 67 home runs as a team. We stole 200 bases. And Whitey Herzog's motto every game was, get me 10 singles, guys. And every time Willie McGee hit a single, it became a double. And, you know, that was such exciting baseball for the fans to watch. And I don't see us going back to that type of game anytime soon. And that's why you see 3.5-hour games. You saw Oakland. That was pretty sad last night. I think they had 2,500 people in the stands. Oh, but yeah. I think the appeal of the game to fans, and I know there's a big push out to try to attract young fans, but I know I have a few grandsons anywhere from 19 to 25, and they follow the game to see how their team is doing, but they don't sit down and watch the game. You know, people are at the game looking at their cell phone, and they're not really into, hey, what's the guy going to do here? Is he going to try to get him over? Are they going to hit and run? Are they going to steal? No. They just wait and see what the tape measure says about the next home run, and to me, that's not exciting. That's just batting practice.
No more get him on, get him over, get him in. We are on the phone with Jim Cott, newly inducted 2022 Baseball Hall of Fame inductee. Go check out his new book, Good as Gold, My 8 Decades in Baseball. And Jim, before I let you go, I am a lifelong Yankee fan, like I've said a couple of times. I got to ask you about the Yankees. I came into the season probably more enthusiastic than most people. I thought that they made some good trades last year, or good additions last year, with Rizzo, obviously, what he's doing. But I love this bullpen. Talk to me about this bullpen. Michael King, Clay Holmes. Is it sustainable? Is this the pitching coach? How can they be this good? Or is it, hey, they've played some pretty bad teams?
Well, I think I remember meeting Michael King a few years ago. He wanted to be a starter, but I think he's all of a sudden, as you mentioned, developed into a dominant reliever. And you make a point of the important factors in today's game. I mean, Whitey Herzog, that year we won it in 1982, he said, I'm going to build my bullpen, my pitching staff, from the ninth inning back. And we didn't have a lot of complete games then. We had solid starters that would go, you know, six innings. Sometime Joaquin Andujar would go more than that. But the team with the best bullpen won. And I think there again, that's the reason for the Yankees. You see Judge hitting a lot of home runs, and they're a power-laden team, but they're doing it by shutting the opposition down the last three innings, and there's not a lot of teams that can do that.
Jim, thank you so much for all of your time. Again, congratulations on the Baseball Hall of Fame. And guys, go check out the book, Good as Gold, My 8 Decades in Baseball by Jim Cott. So, guys, that's going to do it for me today. Look, I want to say again, thank you to Jim Cott. And I like that he touched on a couple of those things. And he did touch on, you know, the Yankees. Look, right now, if you're betting on a team, it's the Yankees. They have a great bullpen. Their starting rotation is fantastic. But league-wide, like we talked about early on, I am betting unders. I am betting on starting pitching. I am absolutely nailing the good pitching scenarios. Guys, make sure you go check out sportsgarten.com. Go check it out, G-A-R-T-E-N, sportsgarten, G-A-R-T-E-N, on all of the social media accounts, and hashtag SGN. Have a very good day, everybody. We'll be back. And you can bet on that.
Hold up. When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.